This podcast discusses topics involving human death. Listener discretion is advised. My name is Ivy, and welcome to the Taphophile Diaries. A taphophile, also sometimes called a tombstone tourist, is defined as an individual who has a passion for and enjoyment of cemeteries, epitaphs, gravestone rubbing, photography, art, history of deaths, and more. So if this sounds like you, you might just be a taphophile. Episode 7, The Poltergeist of Greyfriars Kirkyard. Greyfriars Kirkyard in Edinburgh, Scotland, is without a doubt one of my favorite cemeteries I have visited in my travels. Upon entering, you are greeted by images on headstones and tombs consisting of skulls, crossbones, and even full-bodied skeletons carved into the cold, wet, moss and ivy-covered stone. If a dark, dreary atmosphere is your cup of tea, like it is mine, then Greyfriars is the place for you. It is also one of the most photographed and identifiable cemeteries you will come across. But besides for it being a beautiful sight to see, there is a history here that I want to talk about that will take us into why this location is said to contain its very own poltergeist. The plot of land that is now Greyfriars Kirkyard used to be the site of a pre-Reformation Franciscan monastery, which is where we get Kirk from, meaning church, and Greyfriars from the friars there that wore grey, so they were the Greyfriars. But in 1559, the friary was destroyed by Protestant reformers, and the land that it was on would be put into the possession of Mary, Queen of Scots. And then there was an issue nearby, because the burial grounds at St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh had become so overcrowded with fresh burials due to various outbreaks of disease that during warm summer months, the stench of human decay permeated the area. To help remedy this, the plot of land that had been the old friary was granted to the town council to be used as a new burial ground. By the end of the 16th century, a new church was needed, and in 1602, work began on Greyfriars, set to be the first post-Reformation church built in Edinburgh. This was a slow process, and the church didn't open until Christmas Day in 1620. And about 100 years later, on May 17th, 1718, gunpowder that was being stored on these grounds for the Edinburgh Town Council blew up by accident, destroying much of it. By 1722, a second church was built on the grounds called New Greyfriars, but tragedy struck again in 1845 when a boiler overheated and caught fire. Some look back at these events and wonder if these grounds might be cursed, but I'll point out that over a span of hundreds of years, some accidents are bound to happen, especially when you, store a whole bunch of powdered explosives. Something might happen, and boiler fires are certainly not unheard of. And I should note that this fire wasn't that destructive. In fact, by the 1930s, both of the churches on the ground, the older one and the newer one, which suffered the boiler fire, they were both still standing and they were joined together. And today, scorch marks are still visible around some of the church windows from that boiler room fire, which is pretty neat. And when I went to Edinburgh, I got to see these for myself. And it was a cool glimpse back into this location's history. Today, Greyfriars Kirkyard currently holds more than 100,000 burials, including many notable names from the area, such as well-known poets, writers, and political leaders. And this concludes the general history of how Greyfriars Kirkyard came to be, or at least as much of it that I want to go over, because now I want to rewind a little bit and go back to the 1600s and focus on another tragic side to this kirkyard, because someone who many viewed as being a truly evil person is buried here, and whose spirit now plays a large role in this kirkyard's haunting legend. And his name is George Mackenzie. During the 1600s, Scotland was overflowing with religious conflict. There was already a divide between Catholics and Protestants that was spreading through Europe, but Covenanters, who were Protestants that resisted the king's control of the church, were subject to much of the persecution. There was an attempt at an uprising in 1679 by Covenanters, but Lord Advocate George Mackenzie, in an act of retribution, met the Covenanters with a rather cruel response, which would lead to the creation of the nickname Bloody Mackenzie. 1,200 Covenanters had lived through the Battle of Bosworth Bridge, so Mackenzie had these survivors herded into a tiny plot of land just next to Greyfriars Kirkyard, with this area now being known as the Covenanters' Prison. For months, the 1,200 Covenanters were cramped and packed into a small makeshift jail with little to no shelter, insufficient food, which included an allowance of only 4 ounces of bread a day, and general deplorable living conditions, as you can imagine. They were standing around in their filth, not being properly fed. Disease would spread through so easily, and because of all of this, plus a lack of proper shelter, by the time winter was over, many of them were dead. Some of them who were quote-unquote lucky enough to survive these conditions were eventually hung. And of the 1,200 prisoners, at this point only 260 survived, and they were sentenced to indentured servitude in America. However, the ship transporting them went down during a storm, and of the 260 Covenanters on that ship, only 47 of them now survived. But it's what happened to those who had died in prison and to those who were hung that ties in to part of this legend again, because they were buried in a mass grave in Greyfriars Kirkyard, and this wouldn't be their last time dealing with Bloody Mackenzie. Mackenzie continued to serve in public office and went on to publish books on religion, the monarchy, philosophy, and founded the Advocates Library in 1689. He died shortly after in 1691 and was interred in a stately mausoleum in Greyfriars Kirkyard, with his burial site being known as the Black Mausoleum because of its black roof, and the door also looks to be black as well. But I have read that some of the discoloration and dark color on his mausoleum is because of intentional neglect, because of how strong public dislike is for Mackenzie. People simply didn't care enough to try to take care of it or maintain it. Children used to even sing taunting songs at his mausoleum, one which went, and I quote, "Bloody Mackenzie, come oot if ye dar, lift the sneck and draw the bar." I did have to do some Googling as an American, and sneck is a sort of door latch. As for draw the bar, I am uncertain of what this entirely means. If a Scottish person is listening to this, feel free to let me know. But I believe that this is all just referencing to lifting the latch and pulling the handle to open the mausoleum door for Bloody Mackenzie to face the children who are daring him to come out in their taunt. The evils of Bloody Mackenzie aren't just remembered in these rhymes sung by young hooligans at the kirkyard, but they can also be seen in various writings, including one from 1897 by Robert Louis Stevenson, who words things perfectly, saying, and I quote, "When a man's soul is certainly in hell, his body will scarce lie quiet in a tomb, however costly. Sometime or other the door must open, and the reprobate come forth in the abhorred garments of death." Was this purely metaphorical, or a premonition of what was to come at Greyfriars? To believers in the paranormal, this story of Bloody Mackenzie and his victims being neighbored in death is certainly a recipe for a haunting, with the entity people encounter at Greyfriars today being referred to as the McKinsey Poltergeist. The McKinsey Poltergeist was first reported in 1999 after a homeless person broke into their mausoleum to seek shelter during a storm. But upon entering, they fell into an old pit containing remains of plague victims from decades prior that was under the mausoleum floor. It is believed that this event unleashed some kind of evil. Visitors reported leaving Greyfriars Kirkyard with unexplainable scratches, bruises, burns, and even bite marks after visiting the area of the kirkyard where McKinsey and his victims were laid to rest. Some even claimed to have passed out or become physically ill because of this malevolent presence. Attempted exorcisms and seances have been performed here, including one performed by spiritualist medium Colin Grant, who died of a heart attack in 2000 shortly after performing a seance at Greyfriars to rid the kirkyard of this poltergeist, with many people believing that it was McKinsey's spirit or energy that killed Colin Grant. But this very well was a coincidence. Colin Grant was 66 years old at the time of his death and had suffered a previous heart attack and was on medication for it. So I don't think it's necessarily right to try and say that he died due to a paranormal presence. It's just an unfortunate medical issue that he had, and I don't think we should try to stain his memory like that. As for visitors feeling ill, this could be due to the fact that many had just traveled or flown long distances and have jet lag, or perhaps they are letting the expectation of extreme, frightening paranormal phenomena get to them. But regardless of what causes these occurrences, if they are paranormal or not, this legend is still popular among locals and tourists today, with some sources saying that the alleged poltergeist attacks were so intense that these two areas of Greyfriars Kirkyard, the mausoleum and where the prisoners were, are now closed and can only be visited on specific tours because of this violent paranormal activity. However, other sources state that they remain locked up due to vandals, considering that in 2004, a couple of teens broke into McKinsey's mausoleum and removed remains, human remains, of course, which included a human skull that they removed from a skeleton and then used as a puppet. According to Edinburgh.org, this wasn't just any skull, but the skull of Bloody McKinsey himself. If that's the case, seeing how cruel of a man he was during his life and what he did to the Covenanters, perhaps it was a little bit deserved, but a taunting rhyme can suffice to show your dislike for McKinsey, so please don't go breaking in and desecrating people's burial sites. But it is incidents like this that are probably why these areas have limited access now, not because of ghosts or a poltergeist. But with all that being said, this is all more than enough to disrespect and disrupt the dead, if you ask me, so I don't doubt that there are some paranormal occurrences taking place inside Greyfriars Kirkyard. You have a figure like Bloody McKinsey buried in the very same kirkyard where not only the Covenanters that he was responsible for killing are buried, but also it's right next to the prison where he so cruelly held them. So, yeah, I don't doubt that there might be something going on here. Just don't think you're going to step foot in there and be possessed and attacked by Bloody McKinsey's poltergeist. And again, please respect the kirkyard rules and boundaries there. Don't go trespassing where you're not supposed to be. And remember that so many other people are laying there in their eternal rest. As always, you can find the sources I used in my research for this episode in the show notes below. And don't forget to follow the Taphophile Diaries on Instagram at the Taphophile Diaries. There's also a Facebook page and a website with a blog for even more spooky cemetery content. If you like the paranormal, I've got a lot more paranormal stuff going on there. And please, follow, subscribe, or leave a rating or review. That is the simplest and easiest way to show support for your favorite podcasts and helps other people find them as well. And as some of you may have noticed who are catching this episode the day that it comes out, you'll note that I have switched to posting weekly, so there will be a new podcast episode every Tuesday. And I'm really excited for the topic of next week's episode, but I've been giving some spoilers lately and I'll refrain from doing that now, but trust me, it's going to be a really, really interesting episode on some obscure cemetery history that a lot of people today aren't aware of. So stick around for that and thank you for listening. This podcast is produced, researched, and edited by me, Ivy Boyd. Music is by Dimitri Terrace from Pixabay.